Hi, this is Pastor Bob Yandian. Welcome back again to Student of the Word. Today we are in the last of our series on the subject of suffering. Today we're going to talk about how that suffering can be minimized. We can't get rid of it, but there's certain things we can do to minimize it, and then we're going to take it up, study the Word of God, a lot of other things, your prayer life. Let's go to the Word of God together to find out how we can really succeed in the Christian life.
For more than 40 years, Bob Yandian has been an expositor of the Bible, making seemingly complicated doctrine easy to understand. Grab your Bible and something to take notes with and study the Word of God with Pastor Bob Yandian.
Hello and welcome again to Student of the Word with Pastor Bob Yandian. Glad to have you here. We're ending this particular session on the subject of suffering. Christian life has suffering in it. And the book that we've been offering is called Why Did This Happen? I remember when I was pastor, many people would come to see me, especially before we had a counseling department. And they would come to see me for counseling. And that was the first thing. Why did this happen? They'd explain what's going on. And then they say, why did this happen? And is there something in my life that's wrong that, you know, I can't see? Well, the whole thing comes back to this. God wouldn't hide it from you. I mean, if it was something you were doing wrong, probably while you were doing it wrong, you knew it was wrong. And you don't have to go ask somebody what's wrong. Because whenever there's something wrong, man, first of all, there's something in you that says this isn't right. And then the Lord begins to speak to you and you know it's not right. In fact, probably before you even entered into it, you knew it was wrong, but you went ahead and did it. Then you wonder why you're being attacked. Well, what I'm simply saying is, yes, attacks can come because of what you have done and doing something wrong. But most attacks happen while you're doing something right. And so that's what this book is all about. The announcer come on tell you at halftime how you can have a copy of it all for yourself. And so I'm going to go back over and cover a few things that we covered at the end of the last broadcast on how suffering can be minimized. And I think it's important enough that we cover these points again. Not as much detail, but I'm just going to point them out again to you. Number one is maintain a thankful life. Thanksgiving is a great, important part of life. Praise and worship, where it's the highest form of faith. And in fact, praise confounds the enemy, as the praisers leading the army of Israel confounded the enemy. And they literally turned upon themselves. They turned against themselves while the praising was going on. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells us, rejoice evermore. That means every day. This is just part. If things are good, praise God. If things are bad, praise God. Why? Because in heaven, there's constant praise coming up before the Lord. Understand, praise looks up to something. You don't praise things that are worse than you. You praise things that are better than you. Looking at the throne of God and every answer He's ever given, man, you ought to start rejoicing now. You say, well, I don't have any problems in my life. Well, just rejoice. You know, praising God is something that's something we can do. And it's something that, on top of that, is something that magnifies God, minimizes us, and helps us understand more and more, I am righteous, I've got the life of God in me, but man, I still need His presence. I may be born again, but I am not God. And I can't get myself out of this situation, but God can get me out, and He's even given me the things to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. You know what everything means? Everything means good, bad, indifferent, what's going on, know what's going on, not know what's going on, not knowing what's coming your way, knowing what's coming your way. It's just basically, it said, in the midst of every situation, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's the will of God for us to constantly offer up praise, thanksgiving to Him in the midst of life. And if things are going good, praise Him. If things are going bad, praise Him. And I think it's wrong to praise God in the midst of a bad situation. And once the situation's over, stop praising God. No. And that the context is in this verse of Scripture, don't return evil for evil. In every situation, if somebody has mistreated you, don't figure out how you're going to get even with them. Start giving thanks to God that that person's going to change, that you're going to be able to influence them in a certain way to where they can begin to understand the problems of their life without chewing them out. So again, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what always means? It means the same thing that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. So in this verse, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always means in good times, bad times, indifferent times. If there's times when things are going really good, there's times when things are going really bad, then there's those static times in the midst of it where it's just life as usual. You get up, you know, have same thing for breakfast, go to work, do whatever you do, come back at the end of the day. It was just one of those days. It fit in with every other day. The ones that stand out are the ones we're having real bad problems with the world, or friends, or people turning against us, or on the other side, great prosperity, great blessings, answers to prayer come along. And so that's why this says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I repeat it again, I say rejoice. He's speaking here not only to himself, but also to the fellow laborers in the Lord around him. Number two, number one was maintain a thankful life. Number two, maintain your study life. Knowledge of scriptures give us strength. Psalm 119 verse 11 says this, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Study life fills you with scripture. I mean, we can get revelation from the Holy Spirit. A lot of people tell me, well, I don't study the Word of God in the midst of a bad situation. I expect the Holy Spirit to show me what to do. I can tell you this, the main thing the Holy Spirit uses is scripture. He'll bring it to your remembrance. But if it ain't in there, he's not going to bring it to your remembrance. You're really limiting the ministry of the Holy Spirit when you limit the amount of word that comes into your life. Again, Psalm 119 verse 11, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You want to come through every situation doing the right thing, then maintain a study life. Increase your study life. Don't just study the same things over and over again, but study this, then study that. And the Holy Spirit at the right time will bring things to your remembrance. What do you mean by that, Pastor Bob? You're not even thinking about it. We often think, oh, I got to remember that. Well, I'll write it down so I won't forget it. And then you forget it. Except when the time comes when you're standing in front of a bad situation, people have turned against you, Satan's working a plan against you, and a scripture comes to you that you studied 2 years ago, 3 months ago. And so 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these what? These exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that's in the world through lust. Look what it does. We become a partaker of the divine nature, the new birth in us. We rejoice in his presence. We have his power. But the next thing is, it also helps us to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. So it's simply telling us here in these verses of scripture, most of the time when trouble comes your way, you didn't manufacture the trouble. It's not your fault because you did something wrong. Sometimes it is, but most of the time it is not. It is just the world, the flesh, and Satan. Those three things cause problems in our life. And by turning to the Word of God and turning to the presence of God, God will bring us through. Number three is maintain a prayer life. Develop sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and to God's voice. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 said, men should always pray and not to faint. So praying is always important, and that's when things are good or bad. But oftentimes when things get so bad, you're ready to throw in the towel. That's what this word faint means. Luke 18, 1, men should always pray and not to faint. And so it's not saying here, if you don't pray, you're going to faint, because oftentimes prayer is just communication with God. But there's also those times when the trouble comes along, double up on your prayers and begin to come to God expecting answers from him, and don't give up. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, pray without ceasing doesn't mean that you have continual prayer 24 hours a day. It just means that your life is constantly filled with prayer and praise. It has a proper place. So it's simply saying here, pray without ceasing doesn't mean pray and then give up on praying until next time you run into massive problems, then you resurrect your prayer life. Prayer should be something that's daily. And it's prayer is not just necessarily for needs that you have, but the needs of other people. Lord, I remember this today about the missionaries that we heard their testimony on Sunday about the part of the, Lord, I ask right now you send more laborers into that path. That's part of witnessing, is to pray for laborers to come into the paths of other people. That's how we cooperate with others in spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 12:12 tells us, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continuing instant. That means the reaction to most problems should be to pray. Number four is clean up your thought life. The mind is the arena of temptation. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's thoughts that are really good. There's thoughts that are really bad. Then there's those thoughts that, you know, it's just nothing. I'm going to think about what I'm going to do during the day. And what the Bible says is bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. It doesn't say cast the thoughts away. Take those good thoughts and say, Lord, I just want to be obedient to you today. I want to understand what your will is for me today. Those mediocre thoughts, that's basically nothing. Lord, let something good come out of all that. I've got my plans today for what I'm going to do, but you can interrupt me anytime if you want to tell me something that I need to be doing or that there's someone that needs to be ministered to, and then things are really, really bad. Lord, I'm praying to you right now because your strength is with me. You promised in every situation you would be with me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Pick good things to meditate on. And number 8, live your life above reproach. Let your actions reflect your spiritual dedication. Understand this. You don't just let people know you're a Christian because you tell them. No, your actions tell people you're a Christian. How you handle situations, whether or not you are honest or dishonest, or sometimes cover up what you've done and people around you know. So live your life above reproach. Let your actions, again, reflect your spiritual dedication. Am I dedicated to God? I have a choice in this action, whether to do it this way or this way. Do it in the way to where it will be above reproach. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Romans 12:17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. People are seeing you, so again, be honest in their sight. 2 Corinthians 6:3, giving no offense in anything. And end your prayer for deliverance with thanksgiving for the coming answer. No matter the time involved, give praise for the soon coming answer to your problems. We're going to take this up and continue into the second half of this broadcast, and that's that not all answers are immediate. What do? We often pray and something doesn't happen immediately and we think something's wrong. Most answers do not come immediately. Very rarely do answers come immediately. There's been times in my life when I can tell you about not all answers, again, are immediate. My dad prayed for me one time. I was very, very young, probably 4 or 5 years old. I still remember it, not all the circumstances around it, but something hit me and knocked me to the floor. And my dad just simply rebuked Satan and that thing totally disappeared. And a little bit later, the same thing happened again. I hit the floor and my dad didn't rebuke it again. He just simply said, Satan, I said to you the first time, turn him loose. You've got to turn him loose. And therefore it went for me and never came back. So that was instant. All right. I mean, the instant healing and deliverance at that young of an age. And I've had other times that's happened to me. My daughter, one time my wife and I were praying because she had a fever that was so raging. We both laid our hands on her and I prayed in the name of Jesus. And both of us felt the instant healing. That fever left her immediately. Thank God for those. But there's also some that take some time. We'll talk about that when we come back. See you right after the break.
What happens if we've prayed, but it seems like God isn't answering? Or if we are believing God for someone's healing, but their condition is getting worse? Worse yet, what if tragedy has already struck? Like the loss of a loved one, a failed marriage, or ruined business. We may begin to wonder, was it my fault? I prayed, but didn't receive an answer. At times we don't know for sure why something has happened, but God has promised He will answer. He simply tells us to return to what we know. He has not brought us this far to abandon us. In Why Did This Happen? Bob Yandian outlines the biblical steps to overcoming tragedy and what to do when we don't understand why something hasn't happened. We can take hope, strength, and confidence, knowing that God's word and plan for our life will not fail if we get up and begin moving forward again. To order Why Did This Happen? Visit our website at bobyandian.com.
Do you ever feel like understanding the Bible is complicated? Like deep theological truths are out of reach? Renowned teacher Bob Yandian makes learning easy with Theology Simplified. Let this 2-volume bundle be your guide to understanding foundational biblical truths in simple, practical language. Volume 1 breaks down 8 essential doctrines of the Christian faith, bringing clarity and confidence to your walk with God. In Volume 2, discover the depths of God's redemptive plan, the church's true purpose, and how you fit into His victorious story. Now, for a limited time, bundle and save. Get Theology Simplified Volumes 1 and 2 together and unlock a deeper understanding of God's Word. Don't wait. Start your journey to greater biblical understanding today. Order now at bobbyandian.com. Theology doesn't have to be complicated. Let's simplify it together.
Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. Because of your generosity, this teaching ministry is able to change countless lives. You will never know until you get to heaven how many people received Jesus, were filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, or found God's will for their life through your support and prayers. If you would like to become a partner with Bob Yandian, visit bobyandian.com and click on Partnership.
We're going to talk about here in the closing of the broadcast just certain keys that we need to understand for answered prayer. And the first one is just relax a little bit, okay? I've mentioned already, not all answers are immediately answered. Patience is an important fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have need of patience, and after you've done the will of God, what's the will of God? Find scriptures, pray. It says you might receive the promise. This is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. James 1:4, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What is patience for? Between the time that you prayed and the time that the answer comes along, in that meantime right there, as you stand on the Word and you wait on the Lord, you become more mature. Maturity comes to you, growth comes to you, to where when the answer comes, you're better than you were when you asked for the answer in the beginning. So let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, James 1:4. This verse says that no matter what you do, there's growth involved in it. And one of them is coming before the Lord in prayer. Bringing a need to Him is what the Lord has said, is when you bring me a need and you start to stand in faith, I want to see you by the time that answer comes along, understanding more. Because oftentimes what we do is we pray, and about an hour later say, Lord, I haven't seen anything. Nothing's really changing in front of me. Very rarely in the Word of God was a prayer answered immediately. And sometimes it was, but most of the time it took prayer. It's as they went. It says they were healed as they went within the selfsame hour. So it can take, you know, a few hours. It can take a few days. And then sometimes it takes much longer than that. So again, let patience have her perfect way. Rejoicing in hope, Romans 12:12. Patient in tribulation, steadfast in prayer. In other words, what this is simply saying is, once you pray the prayer, understand it's no longer in your hands. Why are you fretting over something you have no control over? God now has control, and I'm going to just fill you in on something. God can handle it a whole lot better than you can. You might have it in your hands, but you're worried about it, you're concerned about it, and you constantly pull it out and look at it. Again, oftentimes we pray a prayer, and then the next day we open it up and look at it and say, well, it just looks the same. The situation looks the same. And the next day, open it up, and maybe later that afternoon, open it up. We're constantly re-looking at it. And if God hasn't answered it in our time period, which is just a matter of a few hours or a few days, we start getting upset with God. It comes back to this. Understand this. The longer it takes, the more mature you become. If you're standing on God's Word, what God wants is to present an answer to a more mature believer than that prayed for it. So the moment you prayed for it, I mean, you're concerned and all those other things, God wants you to take His Word. He wants you to rejoice in the Lord. He wants you to start praising Him. He wants you in the midst of every situation to give thanksgiving. You start doing that, and it's a guarantee when the answer comes along that you'll be more mature. By the time it comes along, you were so willing to wait that if it's a year later and it happens to you, well, praise God, that prayer got answered. But you know what? If it still hadn't been answered, I would be waiting on God in patience. I would stand before Him saying, Lord, whenever it comes to pass, it comes to pass. In the meantime, I haven't changed. You haven't changed. The situation may not change, but Lord, I know it's got to go away, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but You deliver us out of them all. Take a look here at another point. In Philippians chapter 1, we need to fall back on what we know in suffering. We're always looking at what we don't know and supposing. I think so-and-so is responsible. responsible for this. You know, last time I saw him, he wasn't too happy with me, and his wife wasn't too happy with me. And that must be what really, they're probably the one that initiated and started this whole thing, as if we are God, as if we are omniscient, as if people have the power to really ridicule us. And they, you know, people gripe about things all the time. Christians gripe about things all the time. And you know what? You're a Christian. You probably gripe too. In fact, in most situations, you probably look for something to gripe on to show people how smart you really are. You know things they don't know. You see things they don't know. Basically, what the Word of God is saying here is just keep your mouth shut. Pray, trust Him, and when we're called to face suffering, we will be victorious in it if we fall back on what we know. What do we know? God's in heaven, I'm on earth. I'm going through the problem. God knows what I'm going through. And God, according to Romans chapter 8, has already planned for every problem to be resolved. He knows what the end's going to be. Once I started the prayer, His reaction to it, His planning on bringing me out of it, has already begun. Philippians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. In nothing are we terrified, and don't be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. Whenever you are no longer terrified by your adversaries, they begin to think and they begin to bring out, you know, well, this is his perdition. He's just living in a wrong situation. He knows it. But to us, it's an act of salvation. God's going to bring us out of it. As surely as I was a sinner and I became a saint, I'm not trusting God for for those things that come against me and the adversary attacking me. It's going to turn around. In verse 29, it says, "For to you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." I have a calling on my life. That calling is to pastor. That calling is to minister. I received it at a very young age when I was in college. I was, you know, 18 years old, 19 years old, and I received a call to the ministry, and I suddenly knew what my life was supposed to be. Do you think things got a lot better? No, things got worse. I now was going to have to pay for my own Bible school training. My dad was paying for me to go to college. And when I told my dad I had this call on my life, I said, "Dad, I'm going to pay for it." And so I put my faith on the line. God eventually opened up doors. I got jobs and all these other things. I got married halfway through the year while I was in Bible school. And my wife, you know, we were both working. Things were okay. And then after that, she became pregnant, had a child. She had to quit work. And I changed from one job to another. And I went to half pay of what I'd been getting before. You say, "Why did you do that?" Because it was God's will. I knew it was God's will. I went to work for Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And through that door, about 2 to 3 years later, I became a teacher at Rhema Bible Training Center. My doors began to open. I knew that. But boy, the Lord took care of me. And there was a lot of prayer and a lot of praise, a lot of thanksgiving, and a lot of anticipation from both of us that God was going to have to open up doors because we didn't have enough money to survive. And God opened up doors. Suffering cannot separate us from God's keeping power. We, in a smaller way, by our faith and thought life, keep ourselves. But we are ultimately kept by God's power. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, in which you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through many temptations." All this verse is simply saying is that from the time you know you have a call from God, or God begins to present his will to you, until the time that will actually starts coming to pass, you're going to go through a lot of things. And the point of it is, it doesn't happen overnight. I was just talking to you about whenever I got called into the ministry. And that, again, I was at Oklahoma State University. The Holy Spirit spoke to me in my junior year and told me, "You have a call to be a teacher in the body of Christ." Man, my thoughts just suddenly went, oh, and listen, this was a great time for me because I'd been wondering, I don't like what I'm studying here at OSU, but yet it's, you know, it's what I can do. I know I can do these things because I've kind of done them, but I just don't want to see me doing this for the rest of my life. But nothing else opened. All I wanted to do was read the Bible. All I wanted to do was take some of those books that my dad had. He was a pastor for years. And I wanted to take those books and study them. And I'd look at my studies for class, studies for what I was majoring in, and it had no appeal to me. But I would have to do it to make my grades. And so, though, by the end of that junior year, I knew what I was supposed to do, and joy came all over me. And at that time, I really didn't care what happened. I didn't care if I didn't have enough money. I found what I was supposed to do in life, and God was going to take care of me. So I went to Bible school. I was there for 9 months. And then after that, you know, I went to work, and God provided jobs for me. And it was kind of in line with what I'd studied at OSU. It was in business. So I was managing a business, and God was doing real good in my life, until one day my wife called me and said, in the newspaper, there's an ad here in this religious organization wants somebody to run reel-to-reel tapes and cassette tapes. You remember cassette tapes and reel-to-reels. So anyway, I was way overqualified for that, because, you know, I was working in a hi-fi stereo store and those kind of things. So anyway, I went to work for Kenneth Hagin, and I was paid half what I was making in the world. But I knew I was in the middle of God's will. And so there's that peace inside. But, you know, nothing happened overnight. It took years for this thing to finally develop, where I became a teacher in Rhema Bible Training Center. But even then, it was part-time. I still had to have an outside job outside the ministry for us to survive. But you know what? Something that money couldn't buy, I was happy. Something that money couldn't buy, I had peace. My wife and I both knew we were in exactly the right spot we should be. And I taught at Rhema for 4 years. At the end of 4 years, God laid on my heart I was going to be the next pastor of the church. And the church that I was in, the original pastor had it for 5 years. Another pastor stepped up, and he had it for a year and a half. And the Lord told me I was going to be the next pastor. My wife and I had been there since the church started. And God began to open up a door. Was there problems that came against us? Oh, yes, problems came against us. Because why? Life is filled with problems. Whether I was called into the ministry or not called into ministry, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. I was righteous. I had accepted Jesus, but I just didn't know the will of God till a certain time. And even then, again, more problems came along. But the point was, we didn't care. We had the Lord on our side, and we didn't care if we starved. We expected, if we were starving to death, we'd open up the door and there would be groceries on the porch. All these things that God would provide for us, that was what our faith was. And through the years, things began to change, and I finally became the pastor of a church that I pastored for 33 years. What a blessing all that was. Proverbs 25 and verse 4, take away the dross. This is the impurities of life. Take it from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the refiner. The longer you walk in faith, the impurities are removed out of your life. The more you walk in faith in the midst of circumstances and trials, those things are removed from your life. And at the end, you're going to find yourself, you are more of a vessel to be used by God than ever before. Suffering allows us to find out the use and the power of our superior weapons. And believe me, your weapons are superior to the ones that Satan has. I've mentioned them to you: praise, worship, the Word of God, studying the Word of God, your prayer life. All these things are things you can use to come through the things victorious. And by the end of it, your prayers are better. The power of God that you're using in your life, you become more refined at using it. Your life has improved all the way through. And suffering is not sent by God, but God simply says, use your faith in the suffering, and you'll come out stronger on the other side, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next time.
You can order resources, become a partner, or browse free articles and podcasts by visiting our website at bobyandian.com. Join our mailing list and receive weekly devotions and the latest ministry updates. If you would like to contact Bob Yandian Ministries, visit bobyandian.com and click on Contact. To contact us by mail, use the address on your screen. Thank you for watching today's broadcast. We'll see you next time on Student of the Word with Bob Yandian.